Making
all right, talking through the liner here. Go ahead and kill it. This just broke. Justice Department asked court to unseal Epstein grand jury records, so they're doing it at the end of the workday, so you're not going to get it today. But they did do it today. Bondi said they'd do it today, so they have officially done that. We'll see when we get them or what the judge even allows us to get. We'll follow up with that in a second. I want to let James talk about his new series coming up, but let's give you the satisfaction of the guy you caught on camera admitting it. You got it.
I always find reality to be absurd and ironic. This is John Bryan, who worked with Prince Andrew. John Bryan was caught on a hidden camera saying that Prince Andrew bangs underage girls. Piers Morgan is grilling him about it, and I hope this is the right clip. Let's see.
Well, the Sting video is very interesting. I think O'Keefe Media is genius in certain ways. The woman that I met was spectacular. She was interesting, fun, bright, a great actress. Let's
on, say what you really
she's
think.
Putting on a role. But,
say what you really think.
If I was a producer or director,
she was hot.
I'd be
just say it.
He's complimenting the woman who
just say she was hot.
Piers is going to grill him here in a moment. But what about what he said?
I think that part of the reason that I was saying these things is I had quite a lot to drink, and I just was not
tends to make
speaking
people honest.
The truth.
Yeah, in vino
and
veritas.
I have to admit it,
yeah.
And I regret very much what I said, and none of it reflects what I actually believe.
Oh, is that right?
And what I was saying was stuff that was basically you could Google anywhere in the world, and I regret it. Sincerely
regret
and deeply
saying it.
I mean, the key part of what you were caught on camera saying
are we gonna be able to get
was
to this?
What I'm about to play. Let's just play it and then I'll ask
well,
you about
he
it.
Well, he plays
this
the
is where
clip and it
you
goes
talk
on.
About Prince Andrew.
But anyway, we could
see
talk
if we
about,
can, maybe yeah. we can fast forward it. I know you got a new series
no,
coming up. Alex wants you to talk about the methylene blue.
Yeah, I just took it. I took a lot of it, and I would say it was the effect on me was light sensations. It was increased light perception. That's what happened to
me. The
body.
Pixels of the world around you, of
yeah,
the simulation,
like
enhanced a little bit?
Enhancing my eyes when a light and I woke away, it was just a bit of enhancement perception there. That was the
We'll get that report. We'll get that report back to Alex. The new series, O'Keefe Media Group, coming up.
So it's unified.tv. We're partnering with unifyd.tv. We have two episodes, one on the CIA, one on Disney. Undercover work exposing Disney executives and taking you behind the scenes. These executives were fired because they said they don't hire white people. Crazy. And the CIA official, there's a trailer there where the CIA official is withholding information from Donald Trump, bragging about breaking the law. I think this is the trailer right here for the Disney one. Let's play it. Hear it.
Starlight, that's the code word for one of our undercover journalists and American swipers, matched on the dating app Hinge and went on a hidden camera date with yet another Disney executive.
We were the first people ever to get Disney employees to admit that they discriminate against people based on race.
They wanted somebody in meetings who would appear a certain way.
Do you think Bob Iger is corrupt?
No, yeah.
No way we're hiring a white male.
I knew this story was going to be big. We've investigated
you know
a lot of subjects.
I'm sorry to talk over the trailer, yeah, but you know what's kind of funny? I mean, it's pretty obvious. I'll say I'm making an assumption here. But it's pretty obvious you guys, I don't even think it's intentional, but you catch a lot of gay men.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah.
And it's ironic because obviously they're specifically trying to hire gay men. Like they're trying to have more gay men in there for the diversity thing, but then they end up
blabbing. Gays tend to be chattier. This is not me. This is politically incorrect. Also in D.C., a lot of people are secretly gay. And a lot of the dating apps.
I think we might learn more about that soon, by the way.
Yeah. Well, there's that too. But there's a lot of secret gays, and I'm not gay, but I'll take one for the team.
Hold on. I'm going to give you a chance to rephrase that.
I'm just kidding. To get this story, I'll go undercover and pretend to be gay. But I think a lot of I've learned a lot about that. You know, they tend to be more chatty.
The gay honeypots are more powerful.
It's so funny. It's so funny. They're literally talking to James O'Keefe, telling me how bad this James O'Keefe guy is.
It's some of your most brilliant work. James O'Keefe, God love you. O'Keefe Media Group, big stuff coming up. Make sure to follow him on X as well.
Thank you.
our medical-grade USP ultramethylene blue, exclusively at thealexshowstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus, like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a one-month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com and at Funzer Operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com, become a subscriber, and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. TheAlexJonesStore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
The Pacific Palisades fire, which, if the insane news cycle buried it from your memory, began on January 7th, 2025, and caused massive destruction across the Pacific Palisades, Topanga, and Malibu, with nearly every structure north of Sunset Boulevard in Pacific Palisades being obliterated, causing severe air pollution in Los Angeles. The crisis was compounded by water supply issues, as 20% of fire hydrants in the more elevated parts of Pacific Palisades ran dry. The containment efforts reached only 8% by January 31st of 2025 after 24 days of battling an inferno that 7 months later is still being investigated as arson. In the aftermath, Governor Gavin Newsom signed Senate Bill 549 into law. This legislation grants Los Angeles County the authority to purchase fire-destroyed lots at minimal cost, a decision that directly contradicts Newsom's previous statements to homeowners that government-driven property conversions would not occur.
I was just talking to Josh Green, the governor down in Hawaii, who had some ideas around some land use concerns he has around speculators coming in, buying up properties, and the like. So we're already working with our legal teams to move those things forward, and we'll be presenting those in a matter of days, not just weeks.
The bill mandates that from January 2026, 40% of the housing in affected areas must be affordable, and it establishes a, quote, resilient rebuilding authority, end quote, that overrides local community decisions on rebuilding efforts. This strips away local control, likely displacing original homeowners who don't fall under the criteria of Section 8 recipients, and enables rezoning without their input.
The people that are in charge of this bill, they're the people in charge of letting the whole town burn down, okay? You can say whatever you want, but all their decisions, all their negligence, all that, that's why we have no town in the Palisades. Why will we ever have them in charge of rebuilding what they let burn down?
With SB 549, the authority can buy back land and offer it first to original owners. But if they cannot afford it, they lose their homes permanently, setting the table for Smart LA 2028, led by the City of Los Angeles's Information Technology Agency, a government technocracy that is building the 2028 Olympics on the charred remains of its citizens' homes.
Technology enables the City of LA to efficiently and ethically improve the quality of life for our residents, businesses, and visitors. In other words, when done right, technology makes us smarter. That's why the City of Los Angeles strives to be a smart city. And there's never been a more important time for Los Angeles to be smart than now, as we prepare to host the world in the 2028 Summer Olympics and Paralympics.
Meanwhile, the LA Rises public outreach campaign, launched by the survivors to support recovery efforts, is undermined by Newsom's policy shifts, which prioritize government control over the restoration of homeowner rights and local autonomy.
What they're proposing is a separate government entity to be comprised of political appointees not people elected by you, who would have centralized authority over construction permitting, development, land acquisition, and other key decisions that will shape the future of the Palisades.
In this brave new world, the people of Pacific Palisades are not rebuilding their lives. They are being rebuilt by a government that ignored their cries for help and sees opportunity in their suffering, an opportunity with motive.
It's like California's being run by a criminal operation, and the goal is the biggest land grab in the history of the United States of America.
But the question isn't whether this was planned, it's whether the people of California will stand idly by as their homes, their rights, and their futures are consumed by the same fire that started it all. Their time to take a stand is today, and it isn't tomorrow. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Hello, everyone. This is your HHS Secretary, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I want to speak to you today about a controversial issue that could directly impact you and your family during a global health emergency. Last year, the World Health Organization's governing body made some far-reaching amendments to its international health regulations, otherwise known as the IHR regulations. These regulations establish the legal framework that gives countries rights and responsibilities for managing public health events with global impact. The deadline to reject these amendments is next week, and we are rejecting them. So I'd like to explain to you why. The first reason is national sovereignty. Nations who accept the new regulations are signing over their power in health emergencies to an unelected international organization that could order lockdowns, travel restrictions, or any other measures it sees fit. In fact, it doesn't even need to declare an emergency. Potential public health risks are enough for it to initiate action. If we're going to give the WHO that much power, we should at least invite a thorough public debate, especially since the agreement is an official treaty and it bypasses the U.S. Senate, which plays a key role in ensuring major international commitments receive proper democratic oversight. To make matters worse, the new regulations employ extremely broad language that gives the WHO unprecedented power. They require countries to establish systems of risk communication so that the WHO can implement unified public messaging globally. That opens the door to the kind of narrative management and propaganda and censorship that we saw during the COVID pandemic. We don't want to see that kind of system institutionalized even further. The agreement also contains provisions about global systems of health IDs, vaccine passports, and a centralized medical database. It lays the groundwork for global medical surveillance of every human being. Maybe if the WHO were an infallible authority, untainted by industry influence, we would consider accepting the new regulations. Unfortunately, the COVID pandemic demonstrated otherwise. During COVID, the WHO failed to enforce the international health regulations that were already in place for generations. China withheld critical information about the outbreak for at least a month and faced no real consequences or criticism from WHO. As the 2024 Congressional Oversight Report put it, the WHO was misinformed, denied access to China, and used as a cover for the Chinese Communist Party's reckless action. These and other atrocities make one thing clear. We must strengthen national and local autonomy to hold global organizations in check and to restore a real balance of power. Underneath all the bureaucratic language, what's at stake here is a vision for our future. Are we going to be subjects to a technocratic control system that uses health risks and pandemic preparedness as a Trojan horse to curtail basic democratic freedoms? Do we want a future where every person, every movement, every transaction, and every human body is under surveillance at all times? Now, I don't want to be too alarmist. The new regulations aren't in themselves medical totalitarianism. In fact, they were perhaps written with good intentions, but they are definitely a step in the wrong direction. That's why we're rejecting the amendments, not only on behalf of our own citizens, but the whole world. After all, America could simply ignore the WHO. But few other countries are as powerful as the United States. Even though many of these amendments are phrased to be non-binding, as a practical matter, it's hard for many countries to resist them, especially when they are dependent on the WHO funding and its partnerships. That's why we're taking leadership to stop an agreement that's bad for the entire world. I want to be clear that in rejecting these amendments, President Trump and I are not rejecting international cooperation. We can cooperate with other nations without jeopardizing our civil liberties, without undermining our Constitution, and without ceding away America's treasured sovereignty. That's my commitment to you. That's President Trump's commitment to you. Thank you, and God bless you all, and God bless our country.
Well, the Sting video is very interesting. I think O'Keefe Media is genius in certain ways. The woman that I met was spectacular. She was interesting, fun, bright, a great actress, let's say. She's putting on a role, but if I was a producer or director, I'd be hiring her for any acting role. And I think that part of the reason that I was
okay. Apologies for the delayed return there. You had a John Bound report and then RFK Jr. talking about separating from the World Health Organization. Apologize, having some conversations with James. You can obviously imagine we needed to catch up and talk about some stuff. So apologize for that. But we're back here. Final hour here of the InfoWars War Room. We do have other news to cover, other video clips. Folks, remember to support us at thealexjonesstore.com. I don't want to spend a bunch of time plugging here today after that delay, but that's what keeps us on air. That's what makes us able for us to expand, have the great crew who's working even more now, by the way. They already work like 10-hour days, and now we've added more content, added more shows, Alex doing special reports, so they're working even more now. So show your support for the crew as well by shopping at thealexjonesstore.com. We have a sale going on right now just for this weekend, 25% off, minimum 25% off all products just for this weekend, thealexjonesstore.com. Okay. I do feel, since it's Friday, I'd like to take some calls. So we'll take a couple calls here and go through some of the remaining news here, guys. Let's actually just reset the phone lines because they're already lighting up. So this is just people that have us on speed dial. So they got the Epstein phone on speed dial there. It's got the InfoWars. it's Friday. You know, it's early evening, guys. All right. Maybe we just all have a little, just, you know, take a load off, if you will. It's been a crazy week. It's been a crazy week. I don't think it gets any more normal next week either. I don't think so. I think it only goes weirder from here. So just remember to enjoy life. Always remember that. Always remember to enjoy life. All right. Reset the phone lines. Put the number on the screen. 877-789-2539. 877-789-2539. Three witnesses. Let's say witnesses. Suspects, witnesses of the Biden auto pen scandal have now testified closed-door testimony in front of the House committees. All three of them have pled the fifth throughout their entire testimony. And now Comer is suggesting maybe it's time to get more in. Well, what you need to do is you need to have the open testimony in front of the world, in front of Congress, for the public to see. And then maybe, you know, cut them some deal and you just say, look, you're exonerated from whatever you admit to here, but you're under oath. You're going to answer these questions. You're not going to plead the fifth. The fact they're pleading the fifth, and look, this is the reality of our legal system, and it's a good thing. Pleading the fifth does not make you guilty, and it shouldn't. It doesn't, and it shouldn't. So let's just be very clear about that. That's a good thing. But obviously, when you look at this deal, they all knew about the auto pen. They all got their story straight. They all had the quote from Joe Biden. Oh, I signed off on it. I knew what was going on. That's probably all bold, you know what. And that's just what's so frustrating, really. And I don't think it's going to change. But it's just like, what did you think we expected? Did you think that we won the election and we expected we're just going to sit here and wave pom-poms all day? Did you expect that we won the election and you get in as attorney general and now we're just going to sit here and suck our thumbs and watch you go on Fox News and prance around? No. And you delayed and delayed and delayed, and now they got their auto pen story straight. And by the time you even question Biden about it, he won't even know what the hell day it is. So it's just a complete disaster, man. It's just been so bad. It's really unfortunate. You could say, hey, we're still in the first quarter. You can still make the comeback. But, you know, sometimes you're watching a game and, you know, by the end of the first quarter, you're like, yeah, this game's over. This game's only going one way. Only one result today. Kind of has that feel. Kind of has that feel. But I anticipate you're going to see some major shakeups. I mean, even today, you know what? Let me tell you what's going to happen from experience. So they delay this until the end of the day. Justice Department asks court to unseal Epstein grand jury records. So they intentionally delayed this till the end of the day strategically so that it gives them all weekend to figure out what they want to do, because this is all just damage control. And you already see the propaganda messengers now saying, oh, no matter what happens with this, they're not going to be happy. Yeah, because we already know what's going to happen with this. Nothing is going to be in it, folks. Nothing is going to be in this. And you're going to have lawyers that are going to be arguing to protect the co-conspirators because they already got the deal. They already got the deal that the co-conspirators are protected. So you're not going to get any names. You're not going to get anything. You'll get details about Epstein being a pervert, and that's it. They're going to make sure this doesn't implicate the deep state. They're going to make sure this doesn't bring up any other names. And I'm not sitting here saying I believe Democrats, but it's just like, you know, if a Democrat says, hey, there's water in the ocean, it's like, yeah, that's true. Hey, you know, grass is green. Hey, grass is green. So I see this being played off now. It's just such a failure. It's such an underappreciation, really, maybe beyond an underestimation of what the organic grassroots right-wing media is really all about. And the influence that it has. So I guess they really thought they could just blow us away, but it's not going to happen. So do I believe it when the Democrats are going to come out and claim that the FBI is combing through every Epstein document to remove Trump's name? I mean, I don't know. But it's just like, I don't want to sit here and make it all about Trump. I want Trump to be the president. If Trump was really doing illegal things, then they would have already buried him with it. But I see where it's going. And the legacy on this route that we're on is this is the Epstein cover-up administration. And it's just horrible mismanagement, horrible messaging. But hey, whatever. You don't want to listen to the people that are giving you the good advice. You want to keep digging the hole even deeper, then whatever. By the way, Judicial Watch. In fact, guys, we should pull this up. JudicialWatchPetitions.org. They've filed all types of legal action. This gets back to the Fox News angle, actually. Release the Epstein records. Act now. And so you can sign this petition at Judicial Watch. I suggest you go do it. JudicialWatchPetitions.com to get the Epstein records. But here's what Bondi has been doing. They make sure Fox News gets all the exclusives. So whatever Bondi is going to try to deliver in this wrapped, bowed up package, nice and shiny package, they're always going to try to give it to Fox first. And Fox is always going to get the breaking story. And it happened to us with a FOIA request. It's happened to others. So what? And now it's been going on with Judicial Watch and Tom Fitton. So they were literally like working with Fox News. It's just insane, man. The whole thing is just crazy. But that's what's going on. By the way, I don't even want to get into it because I'm just sick of it too, the whole Israel issue. But so now the ambassador, Mike Huckabee, is, I mean, I think he's an honest man. I think he's a good man. He obviously does support Israel. He's very pro-Israel, but he's also an honest man. So he gets over there as the ambassador, and now he's been through it, and he's seen this war just continue to go on. He's seen Netanyahu with, like, blood in his eyes, all over his hands, and he's just like, what? And now Israel's bombing churches and bombing Catholics and letting Christians get slaughtered. They're toppling Syria. They're about to take over part of Syria. I mean, the whole thing is just, and I think Huckabee's now kind of like, now that he's in it, he's like, whoa. So now Huckabee is coming out and sending messages back to America and telling Christians, do not come. It is not safe for you here. I mean, I don't even want to make a big case for it because everything ends up becoming like this totalitarian response where it's like, oh, look, here's a video of a Jewish guy or a group of Jews in Israel spitting on Christians, and here they are attacking an Easter celebration. And it's just like, that's not every Israeli, okay? It's not. But then that's what happens. It's like people take the videos of them spitting on Christians and spitting on Jesus and all this, and it's like, see? It's every Jew. It's every Israeli. It's like, no, that's a moment. It might happen often, but that's not the whole deal. But yeah, Huckabee says Israel is not welcome to Christians. Just warning them not to come. So obviously he's seen it too. And then Marjorie Taylor Greene, after they bomb another Catholic church, they're bombing Damascus, all these holy Christian sites. And Marjorie Taylor Greene says, okay, that's enough. We're going to cut off funding to Israel until they stop blowing up Christian sites, until they stop attacking Catholics. Until this, maybe, you know, it'd be nice for them to stop killing everybody, would be nice. So she introduces the bill to stop another $500 million of aid from going to Israel. And then the vote happened today. And it had 6 yeas and 422 nays. But hey, AIPAC has no influence over your Congress, right, guys? I'm not sure if I don't know if I've seen 422 votes for anything in the House. Is that like a record for votes? That might be a record. So yeah, when it's for Israel, oh, you're getting every single vote. 500 million. Doesn't matter how many Palestinians are dead. Doesn't matter they're attacking 5 different countries. Doesn't matter they're now blowing up Catholic churches. Yeah. Their AIPAC handlers called up and said, we know you're voting for this. We're getting that 500 million. You got that? So they got it. Oh, yeah.
K. Jr. mixes something into his drink, people pay attention. Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water? Methylene blue. Mel Gibson also praised methylene blue on Joe Rogan recently.
This stuff works, man.
A stimulant stimulates cells themselves to turn the cell up. This turns the energy up. That's why there's no letdown. That's why you can take this and go to sleep, too. But you sleep better on it, in my experience.
No, I really like it. I'm going to have to get on this stuff.
Here, show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
Our methylene blue, medical grade, made in Florida, is incredible. Cleans out your mitochondria, clarity, focus, energy. You've seen the rave reviews of every guest we've had on. It's game changing.
I feel like, wow, there's power in coalescing all your thoughts.
Did you hear our last guest, what she said happened to her?
No. What?
She said brain fog just lifted.
That's what it feels like.
I feel lighter.
It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
This stuff kicked in and it like instantly I just felt like this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. I don't feel jittery. I just felt like instantly like I went from 5 hours of sleep like I got last night to like 10 hours. I don't know how to explain it. This stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene Blue works for me.
I just kind of feel like I'm sitting up straight more. I'm thinking more. The thoughts are coming in easier. I'm making decisions faster. And it really does. And it gives you clean energy.
When I'm talking, it seems like it's not really me talking. I can hear my talking and going, wow,
I agree. It's almost like an out-of-body experience. It's like you're behind yourself.
That is what it feels like. But my brain's going really fast.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
Yeah!
I feel more energetic. I feel more alive.
I found that within 30 minutes of taking it, I have improved focus, improved short-term memory, improved energy. But if I take it late in the day, it doesn't interfere with my ability to sleep, which is very rare for something like this. I get a tingly feeling in my fingertips. It's almost like it's improving my circulation.
I feel tingling fingers.
Methylene Blue radically increases glucose uptake in the brain.
Okay.
So it makes you better and more efficient at using your sugar. We all know the brain uses like 25% of the calories in the body or something crazy.
They've done studies that chess masters burn like 5,000 calories in a day in a tournament because they're so focused on directing energy to their mind as they're thinking so critically that it's like almost like an Olympic athlete.
Well, think about this stuff. It operates in a very similar way. That's the real thing Methylene Blue does. I really believe in this product. A lot of people have bought our Methylene Blue. Our Methylene Blue is incredible. I take it personally. But yeah, I mean, like, this is a solid product. Take this in the morning. A couple hours later, you'll experience the cognitive benefits of it.
I mean, it's so good, it's scary, it's just amazing. So yes, it really does work. It varies person to person, but it's amazing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue. I must say that it does a damn good job.
99% of people that take it have between moderate to just insanely good effects. So good for your whole body.
Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now. I'm a practicing dentist, so I have more patients to treat coming up, so I'm always looking for that afternoon boost without the slump.
With this, it's like in your head where you're like, you can feel it. Your body's a little tingly, but you're just more aware of what's going on.
I would definitely recommend the Alex Jones Methylene Blue here. It's great stuff, so thank you, Alex. Keep it coming.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Making talk radio great again. This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Where? Where, Dwight?
Seems like you already know where.
Yep. Oh, yeah, we all know. Well, actually, they'll send some of the Palestinians to Europe, but they really want to just put them all in Syria permanently now. And then Israel take the Gaza Strip. That's their plan. And it's all going pretty well for them, I'd say. I'd say it's all going pretty well. You know, what's upsetting is, because I just say let the Middle East handle their own business. I just want nothing to do with it. Let them deal with themselves. Keep us out of it. But it's very unfortunate now. And I got a couple clips. I'm not going to spend much time on this. But I've got these guys chasing around. I guess they're hunting Jews. They're running around hunting Jews, trying to beat Jews up at a park. Then you've got Jewish guys running around threatening people that have a Palestine flag. This is in America. And then I got a group of leftists running around waving Palestinian flags, burning Israel flags, burning American flags. I mean, it's just all sick. Now, that video is from Tel Aviv. So the protests against Netanyahu and the war in Tel Aviv continue. You don't see that in the Western media because they want you to think everybody supports it, but they don't. I'm just sitting here saying this has consumed us now, and it's heartbreaking. It's consumed America now, and it's not our deal. It's not our fight. It's not our country. It's nowhere near us. But it's exactly what I saw. It's exactly what I predicted on October 8th. I said, this is now going to be in your front yard and your backyard. And now this ancient, millennia-old holy war hatred is now going to consume our country. And now it has, and it's really sad. And it's really sad. And now Christians really aren't even welcome in the area. And then, but they work, and then their money and everything goes to that area. You're funding all sides of it too. I mean, it's just sick, man. The whole thing is just sick. But don't worry, they still own your Congress, so they're always going to get the support they need. They're always going to get that. No doubt about it. And Ireland's about to get it too. So there's a big stand in Ireland to stop the Zionists from coming in and running their government like they do here. And what do you know? All the AIPAC-controlled congressmen put out the exact same message on X. These are American congressmen putting out the exact same message on X saying, Ireland better not do this. Literally. So you have all of the members of the U.S. Congress here telling Ireland, a foreign country, to support Israel, a foreign country. Yeah. But don't talk about AIPAC. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's do that. Let's see here. Looks like we do have some new names on the list. Let's go to Josh in New Mexico. Josh, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Owen, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Awesome. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I just wanted to bring up a few points that I haven't really heard anyone else talk about with Trump and Epstein. Just kind of a different angle that, you know, throw out there and kind of let you guys war game a little bit if you want. But, you know, I think Trump's really running the point on this thing. I think he's been calling all the shots on it from the beginning. And I think Pam Bondi's just merely doing whatever he says. You know, that's why he interrupts her during the press conference. That's why he's kind of, you know, directing everything. And I think this is why Matt Gaetz wasn't in place in there, because I don't think he would have went along with it. And the reason why I think he's running the thing is because for two reasons. I think, number one, I think there's a good possibility that he's got friends and people that he knows on that are implicated in some way, possibly even family. I don't know. And the other thing, too, is I think he's also using it as a leverage and a bargaining piece with Israel, because they are implicated because of the connection between Epstein, Maxwell, and Mossad. So I think he was using that as a bargaining piece against Israel for the ceasefire. And so I think now that Israel is starting to...
Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, now that I think that Israel is starting to ignore the ceasefire claims, and plus, between the pushback between the supporters, America, and the voice of the people, and the media and stuff, he's now wanting to release the grand jury files when he should have just done that from the beginning. I think he's aware of all this stuff. I think he's just been playing his hand. And here's the reason why I say that. I think it's also connected to the Macron thing with Ukraine and Russia, right? Like the claim of Candace Owens, where he wanted her to stop talking about Brigitte Macron, you know, being a man. So I think the way that Trump is looking at these things is, do we want World War III, or do we just bury these stories? You know, this could be the way that he's looking at it. And I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm just saying that's the only thing that really makes sense to me, because there's not very many things that'll make a rational man act irrational. And, you know, lately he's been kind of acting a little bit irrational. And not only that, but let's also look at the influence that not only Israel, but Netanyahu personally has, not only with Trump in his cabinet, but also the clip of him in the press conference where he talks about how good of friends he's been with the Kushner family and how he stayed over at their house. And then you look at what Kushner's Jared's dad did, right, to his own sister, who were going to testify against him in court. I mean, that's the same move that, you know, an intelligence agent would do, you know, videotape someone with the prostitute and then send the tape to somebody. In this case, it was his own sister. So that just shows what kind of people these are. They're sick. So I'm just saying, that's it. And I think Trump's trying to do all these things, but it's like he's trying to make all these deals and he's trying to dance with the devil. It's like he's trying to outdance the devil. But the problem is when you dance with the devil picks the tune. So
I don't mean this in an insulting way, but you're kind of all over the map. So it's hard for me to kind of cover all that ground. I'll just say you've stated your piece. You know, I kind of look at it like, you know, the one point you make is, and I've been saying this too, it's like the first time we've kind of seen Trump seem rattled or, you know, acting irrationally. You know, I agree with that. It seems to be the first time that we've ever kind of witnessed that. So we're kind of dealing with that, but then also just looking at the different outcomes and saying, okay, what's going on? I mean,
what he's dealing with behind the scenes, and that's the thing. Whenever Netanyahu's directly tied to his family, like, obviously Trump's not scared for his own life, but you never know, you know. I mean,
well, I don't know about that. I mean, they've tried to kill him multiple times.
I'm just saying that. Yeah, they've tried to kill him, so he's kind of like, you know, screw you, I've been through the fire, but how's he going to be when someone affects his family, right? If someone's like, hey, I'm not afraid to die, but you're like, okay, well, if you're not, what about your family? What about your kids? What about your grandkids? You know, what about your wife? You know what I mean? So I just think there's a lot of...
I would put it like this. I got to take other calls, Josh. I appreciate your call. You know, because sometimes I look at politics when it's like, okay, well, what are we really dealing with here? Is that another Trump sketch, guys, or is that real? He made a money tree. That's a nice one. I like that. He never draws, though. You know, when I'm looking at it, oh, come on. I think that's rolls of cash, but okay, yeah. When I'm looking at something that doesn't make sense, and it's like I've done the full spectrum download analysis, and I'm like, okay, I still can't make sense of this. Then you start to do the odds making, and you say, what are the different outcome potentials, and what has the highest odds? And I just look at it. You talk about the recent developments, and I just look at it like, to me, the highest odds are one of the things you mentioned, which is for whatever reason, personal, family, you know, protect government, protect intelligence assets, protect somebody else, whatever. To me, the highest odds with everything that we've gone through here, the highest odds is that the cover-up is on. That's it. That's just the highest odds to me. And then I think the two other potentials competing are that, you know, virtual some Q thing. And I see these people posting it all the time. I don't have this knowledge, folks. And in case you haven't noticed, if you've been following this week, I mean, I tell you what's coming. I have no knowledge of any secret plan. Like, I know they're about to do a story on this health. I know they're about to do a story on Epstein. I know they're about to go after Melania. And it's like, so I know what's coming. I have no knowledge of some secret plan, some Q plan, and Trump's deconstructing all of it. But hey, I'll say that's a potential. I'd say that's probably the lowest potential. So the highest potential is, for whatever reason, there's a cover-up going on. Second highest potential is we're just witnessing incompetence at this point. Just incompetence across the board. And even the competent people that are in there, like let's say a Dan Bongino, who I think is competent, even it's like he gets in there and then it's just like the thing is such a mess, what can you do? So you just either pick the lowest hanging fruit or you just prioritize something like, okay, I'm going to try to do a drug bust, or I'm going to bust up a local sex ring that we've discovered. Or I'm going to go bust this bioterrorist from China that we just caught. It's like, so things are just such a mess. You just say, okay, I'm just going to do this. I'm just going to do that. So I think it's highest odds, cover up is on, and then make of that whatever you want, all kinds of different angles there. Second highest odds, we're just witnessing incompetence. And again, I can be complimentary of Trump all day long. He certainly deserves it. 80 years old, incredible stamina, everything at 80. But it's just like he's still 80. And what am I supposed to think when he says, oh, you know, James Comey doctored it with the Democrats? Comey was the FBI director when you were president and he was gone when Epstein got brought in. So what does Comey have to do with any of this? And if he's talking about Marine Comey, then why did you just let her get away with all of this? From Epstein to Maxwell to Diddy, if you knew it was Marine Comey. He says, oh, Epstein, you know, got brought in and died under Joe Biden. No, that was you. It's like, I don't think Trump is a liar, but is it a brain fart? Let's just move on because we got to take another call. We just went long with Josh. Let's go to Dragon in Las Vegas. Dragon, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, maybe Trump is in a hostage situation between national security.
Because so that would be in my – yeah, exactly. That's in the cover-up realm. I throw that into the cover-up pie chart portion.
Yeah, because let's be honest, Jeffrey Epstein worked for some bad MFers. So if they pull the trigger on the list, who knows what will happen to national security. And then the deep state news and the mainstream media has been talking about World War III, New York City's a target, blah, blah, blah. Oh, and did you know that Israel has a branch of the NYPD? Like their own.
Yeah, they have their own police department.
Why? Why is our taxpayer money paying for police officers that belong to the NYPD?
Wait, well, now I haven't done that much research. Is it taxpayer money? I thought it was like a private Jewish group that was doing that. I didn't know. Is it public?
If it's a New York Police Department, right?
I don't think it's technically the New York Police Department. I think it's a specialized, like, security for, you know, synagogues and stuff.
I don't know. It says NYPD. So, anyway.
I'd have to do more research on that. I don't live in New York City.
Mamdani, he was brought up to the stage, by the way, to increase Eric Adams' overall perception to the world because his whole campaign was a shit show, excuse my language. Like, he hardly did anything right until Trump literally rammed the AR-15 up his ass. So that was the only time Eric Adams started moving, and then he became Trump's bitch boy, basically, right? So now they bring in Mamdani.
Well, he had his own legal troubles that I think Trump helped get him out of.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you think about it, Mamdani just came out of nowhere when the election started running. Nobody knew who this guy was.
Well, he didn't come out of nowhere. He was involved in local New York politics. So, I mean, he was in politics.
What was he known for?
He was in a assemblyman, I believe, a state assemblyman.
He was a state assemblyman? Oh, okay.
Yeah, he didn't come from the bar top like AOC. He was already involved in politics. And he comes from a pretty affluential family. As well. So that, I guess, he does have in common with AOC. Thank you for the call. Let's go to John in New York. John, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. I'll be really quick. There is a website in every state where if you check your name in the website, it's an unclaimed funds. And if you Google the words unclaimed funds, New York State, and put in Donald Trump's name, you'll see different members of his family, different company names that the Trump family owns. There are several pages owed to the Trump family. And if you can get this message to Alex Jones to give the message to Donald Trump, I'm sure that Donald Trump has much more important things to take care of right now. But it's still something I've been wanting to call up and tell you folks about for the last 5 years. Anyway, next. So that's unclaimed. You can put your own name in there, and believe it or not, you're
going to see it. All right, well, let's just move on.
Okay. We need to, like you guys have said it, and I'll just say it one time, we need to see some indictments, some arrests, and legal action against the Democrats, three-letter government agencies, and anybody else that's committed treason against the people of the United States. We also need to hear a little less Israel, Israel, Israel in every single newscast since 1962 that I can remember. You'd think that Israel is our 51st state. We need less Israel and more USA. Sick and tired of them holding the USA hostage financially and politically. That's basically it.
Yep. Well, I think that that's now becoming a major conversation piece that you wouldn't really hear too much about, maybe on the outskirts of the left and the right, but now it's mainstream. It's mainstream left, it's mainstream right. And it shouldn't even be controversial to sit here and say, hey, I don't want to support a foreign country anymore. And I specifically don't want to support a foreign country that's killing people almost every day. Really that simple. I mean, so I don't even know. But you know why it's controversial, because, well, we don't need to go into the detail. We all know what's going on with that. Let's go to, yeah, let's just move on. Let's go to, let's see, Craig in Ohio. Craig, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, first off, Owen, I truly just want to say I respect the work that you're doing. What you're doing takes decency and balls. You clearly had a good upbringing, so hats off to whoever's influenced your path. The one other thing I want to add to that pie is the technocracy, okay? This technocracy under Trump's moving 10 times faster than it ever could under Kamala or even Klaus Schwab, right? So what do I mean by that? You know, this week we had the meeting in Pittsburgh where we had this huge convergence between the energy and the AI. Doug Burgum was there, the Secretary of the Interior, and he was saying, this is really about, you know, the energy to electricity to intelligence. They're going to make a 5-gigawatt data center. To give you reference on that, Denver's 1 gigawatt. So somehow they're going to make a 5-gigawatt data center, okay, that's going to create some kind of an intelligence. We see Sam Altman all over, you know, Okla, these small nuclear reactors. You know, we could go on for hours on that. The point is this, that, you know, the one thing I really want to talk about, you brought up some good points earlier with, you know, Epstein and Khashoggi and Bernil. And the one thing we can't forget about with Khashoggi is Mohammed bin Salman, okay, his involvement there. This goes all the way back to Max Fisher, okay, Max Fisher's endeavor in the energy space. Max Fisher was the big influencer of Les Wexner. Les Wexner is the big influencer of Jeffrey Epstein, clearly, right? We see Lutnick connected to Epstein by way of all kinds of deals with real estate. They were neighbors. So, I mean, we've got a technocracy inside this administration. It's hard to deny that. You know, we sit there and we accept Scott Bessent, who worked for Soros, and he's the best of the group so far. I mean, he's held the line better than anybody. Got to remember, he worked with Stan Druckenmiller. He worked with Soros to take down the British pound. These people know what they're doing, right? If they're going to take our system down, we've got the staff in place to take down.
Well, that's why it's like I just look at things. And again, there's so many different angles to this. It's like, oh, okay, I'll go hang out with Epstein and his guys. There's always hot 20-year-olds around. It's like, okay. Or it's like, I'm going to go to the island because there's stuff I can do there that I can't do anyone else. I can't do anywhere else. And it's like, okay, those people, those are criminals. Those are bad guys. You know, immoral and illegal are two different things to me. And then there's guys that probably aren't even into that stuff. Like, you know, you talk about Lutnick. Lutnick is probably just a business guy who likes making money. Now, who knows what he knew or didn't know about Epstein. But, you know, he's just a guy. He's like, I make deals. I make money. Again, so there's all these different angles, and that's why I'm just sitting here like, maybe we get a good economy. I mean, maybe that's the deal. It's like, all right, Trump's going to let you get away with all this crap. He's going to bury all of this crap, but you're going to make the economy boom. Like, you're going to give us the best economy in the world. You're going to give us the quote-unquote golden age. And that's why I'm just, when I look at everything as an odds maker, I'm like, that's our best hope that I see in this administration. It's just like, good, okay, good. I like that for America. I'm an American. I obviously want a good economy, but I'm not going to shut up because a bunch of perverts and pedophiles are going to get to walk. So the whole thing is just insane. The whole Epstein thing is just insane. And in their filing, and the whole, this is why it's so insulting, by the way. Thank you for the call, Craig. In their filing, they're requesting the unsealing of the grand jury documents because it's historical significance. So after insulting you and telling you to move on and calling you weak and pathetic and saying it's a hoax, they're now filing and saying it's so historically significant that we have to get the grand jury testimony. So, you know, what do you think about that? You know, what do you think about that? Let's go to Tony in McKinney. Tony, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Owen. Great show. Love the conversation. I have a couple of pieces of information for you. And this one, if you could get it to Alex and disperse it, I think the more people we have looking, the better it is. I've got the number of the exhibit in the Ghislaine Maxwell trial that is the actual client list that was entered into evidence by the prosecution, because that's how they convicted her of conspiracy. You had to have a crime or you can't have a conspirator. You got something to write down. It's not a long one. Are you ready?
Go ahead.
It's Exhibit GX52, Gulf X-ray 52, in the federal court trial with Ghislaine Maxwell. That is the client list. That's what people need to be asking for. That's what Bondi needs to produce, because they can have the DOJ unseal that evidence just with a signature.
Well, aren't there people? I know that in the Epstein case, there were a bunch of, you know, say John Doe's, there were a bunch of people, maybe co-conspirators, whatever interest they have. There are a bunch of people fighting to keep all of that stuff sealed. I'm not talking about the Florida stuff. There's other stuff they're trying to keep sealed. So is this like the same deal where people are paying for lawyers just to keep all the stuff sealed?
This is already public because it was entered into evidence in the Ghislaine Maxwell federal trial.
That doesn't mean that they make it public. They can still keep it under seal.
There is a court order after the fact to seal it, okay?
But so that's what I'm saying. So people get in there and they sue to keep this stuff sealed.
But they shouldn't have standing, because if it was
they might be co-conspirators. Their names might be in there.
Okay, this is how it works in the federal system versus state systems, because state systems are all different. The federal system, when evidence is entered in, at that point it's public information to the United States of America. If it is sealed after the fact, they don't have standing to keep it sealed, individuals, because it was public at the point it was entered in as evidence. So
yeah.
You just got to have some people there smart enough or have the wherewithal to
if it's possible, it'll happen. But here's the problem, Tony, and I thank you for the call. You know, you got a Second Amendment right, too, but some people don't seem to care much about that. So, you can talk about the rules and everything, but you know that the government doesn't really give a damn. And when you got the money and the power and the influence to shut something down, they shut it down for you. That's just the truth. And that's why we're here. That's why we're still talking about it. That does it for today. Remember, tomorrow morning, InfoWars is live. Brand new show with Brianna Morello at 10 a.m. Central.
So we had Stuart Rhodes, the founder of Oath Keepers, former J6 political prisoner, constitutional lawyer, so much more on Paratrooper. And he wanted to try methylene blue like so many other guests have done live on air. I got so busy with all the Iran war stuff and the commies rioting to ever get him to take it on air. All the guests, dozens of them that have taken it, within 45 minutes to an hour, have varying degrees from extreme energy and feeling really great to fog lifting to just over the top crying and feel so good. Especially the first time you take it. Electrochemical in the mitochondria, cleans out the cells, just does incredible things. RFK Jr. loves it. We've got the strongest ultra methylene blue. But he's going on Owen in about 30 minutes. My show just ended and I forgot to do this. He's like, hey, are we doing methylene blue? So he's going to take it now. But guys, don't forget when he's on Owen. So maybe if he forgets before he's going to go off, to tell us what he felt. And if he doesn't feel it, we'll put that out. I've had like out of 300 plus people we've given it to, two people did not feel it. That means your mitochondria is in perfect shape. So Stuart, go ahead and take a half dropper or so, that's about a half dose, and then go ahead and shut that down, and then we're going to find out what happens to you. We'll see. Most people, it hits within about 30 minutes, starts peaking after a couple hours, but you're going to be on Owen, so please, before you go, just tell people what you think, and if you don't feel it, we're going to tell everybody.
20 minutes later.
I can feel a definite, like, an energy spike. Yeah, it feels pretty good.
What are you going to do now that you have your energy spike?
I'm going to see if it has a crash.
I've never heard of a crash.
Yeah, apparently it doesn't. But yeah, it feels pretty good. Yeah, definitely I feel sharper.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was pretty tired coming in here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was.
Well, you're running around Texas right now. You're dealing with some other issues here.
I was driving all over Texas giving speeches for True Texas Project, and I was pretty efficient in sleep. Yeah,
right.
I feel pretty good.
So did he give you the drink or the capsules?
I took the drink, but I got a bottle of each, and I'm going to go and do a longer-term test. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Yeah, I do feel kind of amped right now. Yeah.
That's good. Well, that's probably, I don't know, that might be because you're hanging out with me. So we gotta maybe try to get.
I think it's methylene blue.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.